Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Friday night, the Trillion Dollar Flow night. I want to come to you tonight to bring you a special blessing. I want to tell you that God is in control of everything. Right now, we got to deal with finance. We got to deal with people going back to work. We got to deal with people need food and clothing. We got to deal with a government that's sending money all over the world, but ain't no money dropping in Chicago, Detroit, California, Minnesota. One of the things happened in St. Paul today, they said the police department there harassing blacks and Native Americans. They do more arrests of and Native Americans right there in Minnesota. And that's one of the things that came out today. And one of the things I want to say to you tonight, Psalms 51, Psalm 59, Psalm 71, Exodus 14:14, step back, let God do your fight. It ain't your battle, it's God's battle. I want to come to you on this Friday to tell you all is well. I want to tell you the trillion-dollar flow is real. You can start your business. I was hoping I could get Brother Anthony on where he could give you the breakdown of the money that come into the black community, how long it stays, our dollar. And we're going to do that. I was intending to call him today to have him come on the show. Dr. Anthony is a motivator speaker, and he's a well-learned man, and I'm going to try to get him on sometime this week to talk about the economic development of the black community. Dr. Anthony is a gifted young man, and I want him to come on to tell what's happening in the black world. We're getting ready to go into Monday. We'll be having a holiday that was given a long time ago. And the serious thing about the holiday, you know, they say Lincoln freed us. Lincoln was getting ready to send us back to Africa. But what happened, he got killed before he could do what he was going to do. Okay? So June 10th is black folk finding out. Not only Lincoln freed them, they were free, and some of them were still working as slaves. Their mind was all messed up. Like some of us today, our mind mirrors all messed up. Pearl, I was trying to get Pearl. I hadn't seen Pearl for a minute. Pearl, I asked you to testify and send your seed in. I'm going to see can I get Pearl to give a testimony on this Friday. And you're getting ready. Most people celebrating June 10th. And the lady at me said, well, bitch, what that represent? It represent, let me tell you what it represent. Blacks were still in slavery down in Texas. The soldiers come and told them, y'all free. They were still working on the cotton field, doing all that labor that we didn't get paid for yet. But God is still in control. So don't worry about you didn't get paid. I hear the words of by and by, God going to take care, and he has took care of us and our family so far. When I talk about the $1 trillion flow, for money to buy homes, money to relocate, ain't talking about just a house. Come out, we need places for people to live and for their families to grow up. Stop the killing and save babies. Only way we do that, take the mental ill. I got Monday, I'm doing something on mental illness with what's going on in the world today. We got more young folk that is mentally ill, men suicide, doing stuff. They know they're going to get killed. They don't care. That's a demonic spirit, Jerry, directly from evil, the devil, the evil spirit. So demonic spirits come in to destroy your walk with your family, your walk with God, and we are caught up in demonic spirit in 1923. In 2023, we've been fighting these demonic spirits, but they're more out there. They're more don't care. But we have to stay focused and pray. I'm talking to Bright Star. So Bright Star, we got to stay focused and stay prayerful. And telling Lisa, as Lisa, I'm glad that you put your kids in private school and you homeschool them. Because it's so much a negative energy out there, and that stuff will fall on your kid. Your kids are being suicide, killing themselves, and somebody tried to kill them. So it's important to understand that Friday night is the $1 trillion flow. That means that you're supposed to be able to get up and get ready for you to plan for you to have a better life for you and your family. And as many people gone on that I was just looking at all the people that have been murdered and killed. When we came here from Africa, we were no guests. We was in the bottom of the ship called Jesus, handcuffed, tied up. And when we got him, they put us in a barn with the cows, the horses. But we still made do. Our ancestors, Ashe, our ancestors made it work. So it's important for you to realize that you come from a blessed, you come from a holy, blessed family. Ashe. And when you talk about Robeson, Paul Lawrence Dunbar, Martin Luther King, Kennedy, and Sojourner Truth. And there's so many that I know that you know that opened up the door. Marcus Garvey, and they put him out of the country because he was talking about unity. Talking about, and then it's about going back to Africa. Abraham Lincoln hung 38 Native Americans. And Abraham Lincoln, y'all love Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln getting ready to send all black back to Africa. That's what was his plan. I'm going to free you and send you back to Africa with no money, no shoes, drop you off, and fend for yourself. That's what the Europeans had on their mind. But God changed it around, evil. Okay? What I'm saying to you tonight, the $1 trillion flow represents your education. It represents the flow of your mind that whatever you want, you can have it. Whatever you need, God will give it to you. I'm praying for you, Sister Jean in Detroit, Sister Renee. I'm praying for you tonight. Sister Regina, call me if you get the time. I got a great prophecy for you. I'm going to give it to you sooner or later. Mary Hawkins, call me where you make your rendezvous. And I want you to know God is able to do anything for you. Pearl Williams, I want you to get ready for a testimony for Saturday and Sunday. So you get your, write your testimony out, whatever you got. And I want you to plant that seed. Matter of fact, I want everybody for Father's Day to plant a seed. I want everybody on Father's Day to wear red. Red shirt, red tie, whatever. Red represents the blood of your ancestors and your father still running through your veins. Chelsea Parker, God bless you tonight. Nevin told me to tell you all is well and keep doing what you're doing. You can't make grown folks change because they're in their own thing. I say. So I want to tell you tonight, for the trillion flow, that doors closed will be opened up. I want to tell you tonight, get ready for God to do something special for you. I'm going to, from 9 to 10, and from 10 to 11, I'm going to go into a meditation with the angels. From 10 to 11, I'm going into meditation with the angels. So you need, I'm going to give you some angels. I'm going to invoke some angels come to you. I was looking at those that will come in that God will bless. And I was looking at a prophet Lorraine. Come on, because I want to ask you a question. I want you to know that we're getting ready for a total change, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And right now, what we got to do, we got to pray. We got to stay focused, I say, and we got to stay spiritual. We got to know that God brought us in a certain way. I want to see, can I get Pearl? Let me see. Can I get Pearl?
Yes.
Mother, God bless you. Do you have a testimony for us today, tonight? I want to tell you, Pearl, we're getting ready for, I'm going to pull you speak. I want to tell you, we're getting ready for, you know, they made June 10th a holiday. We're going to celebrate it Monday. But the celebration should be that all our ancestors that was killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was killed in Arkansas, our ancestors, it's a day not to go by barbecue and all that. It's a day for us to reflect that we done come a long way. You got a long way to go, but go on with your testimony.
Giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the bishop, and to all the saints of God. I'd just like to say tonight that I thank often and on that the Lord, he's still keeping me here, and he's got something for me, because my father and my mother died both younger than me. She was 45. My dad was 62.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 5 other brothers and sisters going on, and they younger than me. I'm the oldest of all of them. And I just want to thank the Lord for being here, because I got a birthday coming up the 6th of July. And I will be 82 if I live to see it now. Yep. And the Lord.
Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I want to ask you, Pearl, how many was in your family? Your mother and dad, how many kids they had?
They had 18 in all, but they had 16 alive.
Okay. They had 18 kids.
Yeah.
Back in the day. 18 kids. You know, they don't
and two passed away. One was born at birth, when he was first birth, and another one was born. He stayed alive till he was a month old. He had diarrhea. Hmm.
And, you know, I want to say this. You know, back in the day, we didn't have no doctors. Midwives took care of women.
No, they had no doctors. They had a few doctors, but they weren't worth anything.
So the midwife did more. Was you born by a midwife?
Uh-huh.
What I want to say, you had 18, you had 18 siblings, 18 in your family. This is what my grandmother used to tell me, that the midwives did more than the doctors, and the midwife know when the baby was going to come and tell the women what to do. But now they put you in the house. This is what I want to say. We're losing more young folks pregnant. They lose them in the hospital because they don't get the proper treatment, you know, and with you, and it's a blessing that you had 18
brothers,
children, 18 sisters and brothers, and I know a boy had 23 down in Baton Rouge. I don't know whatever happened. He had more kids than everybody, 23 kids, him and his wife. But I think that's a blessing. It should be fruitful and multiply. And I think your testimony this morning, your testimony this evening, wake us all up to two things. Be fruitful and multiply. And all this homosexual stuff going on, God made man and woman to be fruitful and multiply. And some of these young girls now, they get an abortion, they killing babies in their womb, and they killing themselves because they have violated God. Go ahead on and speak.
But all I know, I guess, my father, he had 19 in all, because we got one brother that was older than all of us, but I saw him only once, and so
That's by the same mother or different woman?
It was a different one because that was before he got with my mother.
Okay.
And so I was just thinking the other day, I've been hearing some of the kids that I kept, some sibling, and they gone on. And I got a nephew, he gone on, that I had him when he was small. One of the kids. And I just thank God that I'm still here, because I know he left me here for a purpose. And I thank
him
every day.
I feel for God left you here for what you're doing now, testifying to people that women think it's something bad to have children. Here's your dad and mother had 18, 19 head of children. And now, you know, that's a blessing from God to be, it's the Bible, to be fruitful and multiply. But now, they don't want to do that. You know, they want a shortcut. They want the shortcut out, a short way out. But the Bible says be fruitful and multiply, and God bless you. I thank you for your testimony.
And I got one. He's 52.
Huh?
I got one son, and he's 52.
Well, your son is 52, okay. And he got a son. How old his son is?
He'll be 20 if we live to see next month. No, month after next, he'll be 20 August the 2nd.
Well, I want to say this to you. I don't want you to stop testifying. Tomorrow, Saturday, is our healing night. And I really want you to tell this testimony Saturday, Sunday, all this week. People got to know it's all right to be fruitful. You got women trying to kill babies and killing themselves because they ain't been taught. And just your word will help young women to know it's good to be fruitful and multiply. God ain't made no mistake.
No, because My mother had Mary when she was 40, and that was the last one she had. And she passed when she was 45. Mary was 5 years old, and she told me on her dying bed to take care of her 3 smallest kids, and I did what she asked me to do.
That's a blessing.
Although
that's
I just had gotten married about 3 years, but I did what she asked me to do.
But I just feel that your mother's spirit and your father's spirit have been around you because you carried out their what they told you to do. So God said high and look low. And you're going to
do
your birthday next month, right?
On the 6th.
The 6th of next month.
Yes.
Well, we're going to do a big celebration for you on the 6th of next month. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I might come to Detroit and might get a room and have you come out because it's a blessing. I don't know what your family going to do because, you know, our family is so divided now. But it's a blessing to be a senior. It's a blessing to tell lots of people what you told us tonight. A lot of young folks don't even know that. About the midwife. You know, it's just so much that God has put in our mind. God has told us what to do, and we have to stay. I just thank you for that testimony, and I'm going to repeat it all this week, so just get together. You might add a little bit more to it tomorrow, a little bit more to it Sunday, a little bit more to it Monday, but we're going to be in testify because somebody is learning that it's all right to be a woman. It's all right to be a man. I was talking to a young man, and he said, Bishop, they want young people now to be gay, and they don't even know what gay is. Look here. That's the evil that's being sent out. And they're trying to block anybody that can tell the truth. Everybody hear what I'm saying? Little kids, 7 or 8 years old, listen to all this homosexual stuff. They don't know nothing about that. The kids want to play with toys, have a good time, but it's so much of negativity that's out there. And all the way we turn it around by prayer and by the stuff that you're doing, Pearl. And I don't want you to stop and don't give up. God got a purpose for you. And God, and I'm on, really, I'm going to sit down with you, with somebody. It's some stories got to be wrote down and put in a book about your family. And I was talking to a young lady, she can write books. And all you got to do is just talk to her, she can write it out for you.
My mother passed at 45, and her mother was 108 when she passed.
What? 108?
Yes.
All of this got to be put
my grandmother just passed away. I think it was 92.
Well, this stuff got to be put
she
down.
She was born 1893.
This stuff got to be put down in black and white, where the kids coming home can read. Because they try to say we didn't have no family. They try to say that we was ignorant, we couldn't read and write. But we the one brought reading to America. We brought airplanes to America. Who built the pyramids? Black folks. It's so much we done did been took away from us, but we gonna bring it back. And I want to thank you tonight for that powerful, powerful testimony. And it makes me feel good for you can go back. You got people don't know their name. In Baccala, you got people. God has kept you. And I want to tell you, you keep nothing yourself with that olive oil and say bless. And God bless you. And I want you to just tell okay, I want you to keep doing your thing. Now we're going to do right here.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in. racism and white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You look next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism and white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion.
From LA to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama.
Brought you, but God ain't through with you yet. And what I'm saying, about that is some doors got to be opened up. And because of what God had did, I was so happy to hear Pearl give a testimony. And it really helped me because my grandmother was 107 before she crossed over to the other side. And sometimes we got stories to tell. We have nobody to tell them to. We made mistakes. But that's all right. God forgive you for your mistakes. You know, Ezekiel was in the valley of the dry bones. And God said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, Lord, I know it. I don't know. I ain't educated enough. But I know you are God of the universe. And I want to tell you tonight, that same God that talked to Ezekiel will talk to you. That same God will heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. I'm excited. I'm excited what God's going to do for all of us. And I was so excited with Pearl doing that testimony because somebody needs to hear it. One lady just texted that her boyfriend wanted her to get rid of her baby. I said, baby, let me tell you something. You end up trying to kill the baby, kill yourself. Let me say something to y'all. You know, young folks, I want to say this to you. If you got it in your belly, you better let it stand now. And if it's going to move, God going to move it. Stop and letting people make decisions over your life that would mess your life up for the rest of your life. Hello, somebody. There ain't so much a cancer, so much a breast cancer, so much cancer in the womb. It's because they're doing bad things. They're using all kind of different tools. And they want to say it's all right. It's not all right. Murder is never all right. Okay? The Bible says that should not kill. That should not steal. That should not cover in the Ten Commandments. But what I want to say to you tonight, God said high, and he looked low. God is too intelligent to make a mistake. And I want to tell you, God have not made a mistake. So stop worrying about what people say. Know what God told you to do. And if God told you to do something, you stay with God. And God will bring you to the next level. God will bring you out. And I want to tell you the $1 trillion flow. That means that you got to help your neighbors. You know, see all the people coming over from Ukraine. How come they didn't bring nobody from Africa, from Haiti? See what goes around, come up. Racism and white supremacy is still real. But God will tear it down till they get it right. The storms and the flood is back to back. Ain't going to stop. Once they get through with the floods in Florida, they're getting ready for the hurricane. Y'all believe what I'm saying? Unto man repent to God, to the universe. Until you understand that God is the God of the universe. You understand that God is a powerful God. You have not, because you ask not. God going to do something for you. And I was thinking that testimony that Pearl did was so moving. What Pearl was just telling what happened. It's a lot of young ladies. You got babies having babies. The girl told me she's a grandma and she's 15 years old. She don't know nothing about no diapers. They even know nothing about their period. They all messed up. And it's going to take senior citizens to tell them how to clean their body up. Some of them have body odors. Some is messed up. All in their bodies all messed up. God have kept people here to tell the truth. And I thank God for what he's doing. And I thank God for what he's saying, the $1 trillion flow. It ain't about the money. so much. It's about you being obedient. If you got a need tonight, you plant a seed. You said, bitch, I need to plant this seed for my family member. And when you plant that seed, there's going to be a breakthrough for you, your family, and what you asking God to do. And God going to do it quick, fast, whoa, and in a hurry. I want to tell you tonight, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, God is still in control. Exodus 14:14, he said, step back, Moses. I got to fight this battle. This is not your battle. This is God's battle. And you got to keep praising God. You got to keep telling God, whatever you need, God got what you need. God got what you want. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What I'm trying to tell you, if you let go and let God, you can't, when lady comes, I'm so worried about what's going on, if you leave it alone. You can't fight this devil. God got to fight this devil. And when God tell you to read it, you read it. When God tell you to pray, you pray. And you speak and say, it's over with because I'm with God. And God opened doors up for me. And I want to tell you, God opened doors up for you quick, fast, and in a hurry. So let go and let God break the yoke for you because he'll do it. And let God do something special in your life. This is Friday night, the $1 trillion flow. We're on from 9 to 10. And then we're on from 10, and we are on from 9 to 10, okay? From 10 to 11, okay? So what I'm trying to get to you, God got a word for you. And at 11, I'm talking to the angels. I want you to write this down. St. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Hamiel, Babiel, and the God of the universe. And when I say God of the wind, the God of the water, it's something going to happen. You send back, and you send, if I'm going to come back, you're already back. But the devil don't want to let you know that you're back. The devil come to kill and destroy your body, your mind. But God come for you to have life and have it more abundantly. And I want to tell you, Ashe, I can feel all our ancestors right around me. Ashe. And thank you, Ann, for what you told me to tell Regina. I'm going to tell her. I want to thank you, Henrietta, for sharing what I need to tell them. And all the ancestors coming. Bertha want to thank Pearl for taking care of her business. Ashe. And she said, Pearl, she don't want you to give up because you got plenty of work to do to help her family, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews. You need to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So if you got a bucket of truth always out of distant faith. And when Ezekiel got to where he couldn't do nothing, Ezekiel asked the question, God, you know. And I want to say tonight, God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, God know what you've been through. God know how you've been hurting. You can't tell nobody. Sometime at night you lay in the bed, Lord, why me? God, right now, a divine healing on somebody. Let me speak that. Somebody's eyes being healed. Somebody getting healed in their back. I'm praying tonight under the testimony. Pearl, somebody being healed from cancer, from high blood, from sugar, somebody's mind is going back, coming back to itself. I rebuke that alcohol spirit, that spirit of dope and drugs that have been put out here to kill our people. There, when you go back into the pit where you come from and leave the boys and girls alone with all these different drugs that got out in the street that's killing our young folks, killing their body, killing their mind, and killing their thoughts. God is the God of the universe. And I want to tell you, if you hang with God, he's going to do it for you. And he's going to make things work for you. From 9 to 10, and from 10 to 11, I'm going into angel meditation.
Hey, everybody. This is Brother Calvin. This edition of...
I'm going to go in angel meditation. The angel meditation will tell you on what's going on. Okay. When I go to the angel meditation, that's going to open up doors for you. So you need to know that God has already made provisions for you. And if you don't receive it, I can't give it to you. You got to make up your mind that you are from the royal family and from a priesthood of God touching you. You know, Neely Fuller talked homosexuality, so that people say, well, Bishop, some people don't want to hear the truth. This a gay pride, this a pride week. Every day ought to be pride for you. Every day should have pride in your family. If they on dope, try to give them off. Whatever they going through, try to get them at another level. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Some people you can help. Some people you can't. But with God, all things are possible. And I'm praying tonight for those in Texas that lost lives, tornadoes and floods, all down the south, in Grambling, in Ruston, all through the south, God is letting you know that he's real. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and he's real. If God said it, I believe it. And if God said he's going to make it happen, I wish I had somebody to know what God whispered. And when God whispered, things come alive. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever on your mind, let go and let God. Let me say that again. Let go and let God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, he's going to work it out. Once you give it to him, body, mind, soul, and spirit, he's going to put somebody in your vibration to heal you. He's going to put somebody in your vibration to bring you out. He's going to put somebody in your vibration to bring love and joy to you. Whatever you think, God can do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. I just sent that angel out. You're on his way. Somebody says, I need a financial blessing. Somebody says, I need healing. Look at God. Look at the angels. God called the angels to get busy. God called for the angels. They got to get busy. Because God called them to get busy. If God called them to get busy, what you think they got to do? They got to hurry up. and do what God said. And I want to tell you, everything is controlled by the Almighty. And whatever you need. Now, I want you to make up your mind to, Bishop, I'm going to plant this seed. I'm praying for you, Sister Asia, that God aids Sister Bass. I'm praying for you also. We're getting ready for Father's Day. Every day should be Mother's Day. Every day should be Father's Day. Y'all ain't hearing me. You should love your mother every day. You should love your father every day. You should love your family every day. I say. Stop the fighting. Let go and let God. And when you let God, there's going to be some changes take place quick, fast, and in a hurry. I know you don't want it to work that way, but that's what God do. God says it's done, it's done. If God says it's over with. You know what I'm saying? When God says that I give you over to a reprobate mind, I mean, you done messed up. You done disobeyed God and his prophet. You done disobeyed the word of God. And you feel that you're big enough to do it yourself. But I got news for you. You can't make it by yourself. You got to have the woman of God or the man of God to come in your life. The young man was on dope for 10 years. Went to every church, big churches. There was a woman in the storefront in Detroit. She said, young man, come on in here because God told me this is your night to be healed. God have a way speaking to your problem, which I had somebody. So the man came in and he got healed. Now, he had been on drugs and making money rich, singing all over the world. But he couldn't, he had to wait on God to see about him. And you have to wait on God to see about you. You got to wait on God to bring you up and out of what you've been in. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So you can't do it by yourself. You got to let God carry you to the next level. But some of you say, well, I can do it by myself. I got news for you. You can't do it. Moses couldn't do it by himself. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob couldn't do it by themselves. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to wait on God. And tonight, you got to wait on God. And you got to give over to God what you want him to do. I just feel that God got a blessing all through your house with your name on it. He got a miracle going to be released for you if you just listen to the words of God. Sometimes you need to know where the evil come from. You being set up. Let's go to Brother Nelly Fuller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is just doing a special short version of the Cal. Wanted to speak with Mr. Nelly Fuller Jr. about homosexual activity. I was able to speak with him privately last week, and he shared some really interesting thoughts, and I wanted him to share that with you all briefly. I didn't want to take up too much of his time. Mr. Fuller, when I spoke with you, you said that white people think of white people tend to think of non-white people as boys and girls, and you tied that into how that relates to homosexual behavior. Could you share that with our audience so they can get a really clear picture of what you're saying?
Well, there is a system of white supremacy in place, which just means just mistreatment and domination and use of people in a royalist manner based on color. That's basically what it is. That's what racism is. It's just a variation of the of royalism, but it's based on color rather than on other things like lineage and who your father was and what your name was. I mean, 1,000 years ago, and certain sets of traditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what basically racism is, and it's turned out to be the most powerful form of royalism in the known universe now in the form of what we call racism and or white supremacy. Now, in any structure that's dominant, you have to dominate the people in all areas of activity. If you don't dominate them in all areas of activity, then other areas of activity will slip away from the domination factor. And you have 9 areas, according to what I have written, that will just about cover most things. I think that's adequate enough. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, I call sex the 8th area of activity in alphabetical order of the other areas of activity. So that just comes up as number 8. But sex is the most powerful motivating force among people, next to the system of white supremacy itself. Because whatever the dominant system is, that's what people react to on the planet. So the dominant system at this particular time in history, and has been as far back as anybody can remember who's breathing now, the dominant system, that's mistreatment of people based on color, domination of people based on color. So the sexual aspect is the 2nd most powerful motivating force, rather than the 1st, under this system, since the racist factor is the dominant motivating force among people, and sexual motivations are the 2nd. Now, the racists, apparently, according to the evidence, have studied how people who are subject to them are motivated sexually. Now, if a male is a boy, which you are a boy, you're a little boy when you're born and whatnot, and you get to be a bigger boy and whatnot, and at a certain point you reach what they call a certain degree of maturity, which is decided according to the social system that you have at hand, you're now entering the threshold of what they call manhood. So you go from boys to men. Females go from girls to women, and that's the normal process in most societies. So what the racists did was look at that and said, well, you when you have a system of racism, you only have 1 man and 1 woman category, and that would be the masters themselves. You can't have your victims of the system growing into manhood and womanhood. So if they start trying to be men, if they go from boys to men, now you have a problem. You have a bigger problem than you had before. When they were boys, they were completely dependent on you. They understood that they'll do your bidding, and they're easier to control. Same way with the girls who are trying to be women. But when they start thinking that they are men, you're not going to have but 1 man in the house of white supremacy, and he's got to be white. And you're not going to have but 1 woman. And she has to be white. So now it defies logic that you would allow them to go from boys to men. So if you're not going to allow them to go from boys to men, what will you allow them to do? Because they are constantly growing, they are constantly getting smarter, and they have a natural tendency to want to break away from boyhood and to become men. So what you do is divert them away from wanting to become men and have, if it's a male, have him go from boyhood to femalehood. In other words, he changes his gender altogether, at least in his mind. Then he's easier to control. Then you do the same thing with the female. Take the black female, and rather than allow her to go the normal progression of things, steer her in the direction away from becoming a woman and in the direction of becoming a male. In other words, she will switch genders in her mind. Now, her body didn't switch genders, but we can probably do some things that give her the illusion that her body can be made to switch genders too. Now, when you do that, what you have is confusion. You have added confusion. And one of the best ways to control people for a long period of time, particularly if you confuse them sexually, is through confusing them sexually so that you have a male thinking he's a female or wanting to be a female, even if he's struggling and trying and whatnot and trying to do everything that a female does, but he doesn't have the physical equipment. But he's got it in his mind anyway. He's just determined that he's going to act like one and be one and do the things that females do and look at males like a female looks at males normally. And then over in the female column, have the female do the same thing. Only thing about it, she's not going to try to grow into womanhood. She's going to try to do everything that she sees males doing, including in the bedroom. Try to become an artificial male. And she can do this in her mind because the mind is very flexible. A person can actually think that they are a bird if they want to. But before they try to fly or jump off a building, it's best that they get their equipment for doing so. You know. So that's the way that works. And when you can get people on that roll and when you have people subject to you, you can always propagandize anything. You can make anything look like it's the fashion because you set the rules for the society. So that's what's going on. I tried to be as comprehensive as I possibly could in that description, and I hope that people could understand what was being said.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we have now. We're heading in that direction now, full steam ahead.
When I spoke with you, I said that, you know, the counter argument that I frequently hear is that, well, there are a lot of white people who are also participating in so-called homosexual activity. And, you know, this is not something where they're just trying to trick black people into doing it. You have people who are born so-called gay or homosexual. And, you know, this is no trick at all. If it was, you wouldn't see all these white people going around and doing it and being mistreated because they are participating in these so-called homosexual acts. What would your view on that be?
Depends on how it plays out in the end. Now, if the system of white supremacists remains intact, then that will prove the supposition, this outline. That will prove that it's valid. That is, it is designed basically to support what is already in place. Otherwise, you would have the system of white supremacy would go out of business. There would be no reason to keep it in business if the white people were serious about really getting rid of racism and getting rid of what they call all of the sexual and gender categories and all like that, because racism is an artificial category. See, just because people are of different colors doesn't say that they are members of a race. That's an artificial construct. No one is supposed to be a member of a race. That's something completely made up. So if you can do the same thing with gender. You can do the same thing with a lot of things. But you have to wait until it reaches a certain point where you've got enough evidence to prove the proposition that you made in the first place. Now, like I say, this is my concept of the way things are going, because there is still a system of racism in place. Now, if racism is still in place, when all of the so-called anti-sexual, that's what I call it, behavior, comes to full fruition, and everybody's accepting of it, everybody's participating in it, or embracing it, or parading it around, and saying that it's the best thing ever discovered since ever, okay? Now, and you still have a system of racism in place, then that will help prove the supposition, because ordinarily all of racism would disappear. But see, it's designed to lure. Now, here's where I based that on, the luring part. In the history of the system of white supremacy, there's a thing called whiskey. It was very popular, the use of it. Now, if you are a practiced deceiver, one thing that you know about the science and the art of deception, you cannot deceive people into doing things unless you are doing quite a bit of it yourself. If you're going to be what you call a real arch deceiver, and the white supremacists have proven that they are arch deceivers, they are very skillful at deception. So in order to deceive people, you can't get people to drink whiskey, and you're sitting there never drinking any of it yourself. So there's some historical record of this. So what they'll do, a deceiver will sit there and practice drinking whiskey under controlled conditions. You know, take a little sip, know exactly where the point is where you get good and drunk or where you don't get good and drunk. Then once you learn what they say, and some people brag about it in bars and whatnot, said, hey, I can drink you under the table, meaning they can outdrink you. That you will drink. I mean, that they will drink, and you will drink. But when they drink, they don't get drunk. But you wind up drunk. Many males who have tried to deceive females into sexual activity, you know, back in the days when whiskey was a bigger thing than dope, used to get into the booth in the restaurant and start that process. Say, now, what I'll do, I'll know she's not willing, really, but she'll be willing before the night's over, because I'm going to get her to drink some of this stuff that I brought with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be drinking and she'll be drinking. He'll take a sip, she'll take a sip. Next thing you know, she's willing to go along with anything. She doesn't know what she's doing, but he does. Now, many a person, particularly pimps, understand that thing very well. Now, it's the same way with whiskey as it was used, according to the record of white supremacists themselves, in dealing with people who are called Indians. Sit down, Chief. We're going to have a Thanksgiving Day. We're going to give thanks for all of the wonderful things that have been done for both me and you by our Maker, by the great spirits. And, in fact, I brought some spirits with me. It's in a bottle. You never had anything like this before, but you will want it after you get it. It's called fire water. It's full of spirits. It'll give you spirit like you have never had before, Chief. And the Chief said, well, what's wrong with just pure water from the river, from the great streams of our lands? Say, oh, yeah, but you never had nothing like this. This is something we made in a factory. It's got water in it. No mistake about that. But we got a little alcohol and a few other stuff, a little other stuff that I've added here. It'll pep you up, give you another perspective on looking at the mountains altogether. Might be good stuff. So he gives it to the Chief. And at the same time, now, the Chief is a little suspicious. So he's drinking right along with the Chief. So that means everything must be okay. So he's drinking, I'm drinking. Next thing you know, the Chief is under the table. Chief's not used to it. And the white supremacist, while he's drunk, or when he begins to come out of the stupor, says, okay, Chief, I got some paper here I want you to sign. I'm going to give you $22 for Manhattan. Now, when the Chief really gets sober, see, now he's angry. He wants to go on the warpath. But he's already signed everything away. And what was the instrument for doing it? Deception through an act of using whiskey. Now, the whiskey, you know, that's working all over the world, and they're starting to do it in South Africa, in Thailand, and other places and whatnot, is sex and anti-sex. Oh, you don't need to be a female all the time. After all, females have to go through a lot of agony. Wouldn't you like to be like your brother? Well, I don't have the equipment of my brother. Oh, well, you can pretend that you have it. I got some stuff I can sell you in the store. Strap-ons, you name it. And you just get it in your head that you should be a male. Because males can get things done. They got privileges that females don't have. And you say, well, you know, I don't particularly, you know, the lady says, I don't particularly want to be a male and all like that. Well, it's something, you know, have you tried it? You don't know it. Don't knock it if you ain't tried it. And knowing black people, particularly in this area of the world, we like anything that looks like it's bordering on something new. Because we're so tired of everything that ain't new. And they won't, no, we'll go for it. We'll pioneer, you know, we'll lead the parade, which is what they try to get us to do. Now, you can't get a decent place to stay. You can't get a decent job. But if you want to lead the gay parade and you're black, they will reserve a spot for you. If you don't believe it, try it. That's what I mean by evidence of what I'm talking about. The record shows this. And they start with who? The youngest. Okay. Always work with them in the choir and churches and whatnot. And they do it through the most intelligent of black people. They don't start with the fellow sitting there with the wine bottle in front of the liquor store who's 40 years old. Because he's a black male. That's why he's drinking. He's been disallowed to ever be a man, and he knows he'll never be one. He'll always be a boy. And that is tearing him up inside. That's why he left his wife, left his children, and all like that. I mean, he gave up on everything and started drinking. That's why he's sitting on the curb out there. Because he's still struggling to be a man, and he will fight people right there in that parking lot about his manhood. So you can't hardly get to him, even when he's drunk. You say, oh, man, get away from me. Don't be feeling on me. I got this big hip woman out here, you know, this big leg woman out here, you know. You know, if I want to do something like that, that's who I'm going to get with. I don't want you. Get your old rough, dirty hands off of me, you know. Man, I like women, you know. I'm a man, you know. I'm a man. Look at me. I'm a man, you know. I don't want no man. Even when I was in the joint, I didn't want one. See, that's the way he'll talk. He's 40 years old, okay. But what do? They go around and get the teachers and the guys who are going into the ministry, and that's where they spread that gospel among black intellectuals. Because the street dude, see, he's still struggling. I mean, he ain't going to never make it, because you can't be a man under the system of white supremacy. You got to remain a boy or turn into a female. By turning into a female, I mean having the kind of ideas about the opposite sex that a female has, but you're a male. But you got the same idea about a male as your sister has. You're trying to outdo her. You're trying to take your sister's boyfriend. That's the way the white supremacists want it.
My co-host, I believe is here. She is a non-white female, and she is 10 years old. But she has been studying your work, and she understands that there is a system of racism, white supremacy. I was hoping she could ask some questions as well. Are you there, Justice?
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about the misunderstanding. Okay.
Do you have some questions you would like to ask Mr. Fuller?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
Well, she can think about what I said. See, here again, codification is about not taking Neely Fuller's word for anything. In fact, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just walk around and take a look. See, just don't jump into things. Just walk around and take a look and see if it doesn't start adding up. Because that's what I do. I don't jump to a conclusion and then go around trying to bombard people with the conclusion I jump to. I just go around and see if there's evidence of what I think might be happening.
Mm.
In fact, I challenge, you might say, if you want to use that term, I say question, and it's not a challenge. If I have a concept, I'll go around and question the concept that I have before I even reveal it and see, you know, well, something is going on. Now, why is this happening? Why here? Why now? How come it wasn't happening, you know, 60 years ago? Why is it happening now? And why is it happening involving black people on this scale? See what I mean? And I'm saying now, someone must have thought it up, or it wouldn't be happening, because it's something that's happening between people. And anything that black people do, the white supremacists always have something to do with it. Otherwise, it's not going to be happening in the first place. If it's something that's bad for their business, they will cut it off. They'll put a stop to it. But if it's something that they think is good for their business, they'll not only let it roll, they will support it. Now, I've heard white supremacists argue about white people engaging in what we call homosexuality or gayism or lesbianism and whatnot. And that's another thing. Even the terms don't add up, because I've even asked the questions, which is what you do in any kind of research. Why are gay people called gay? Nobody answers that. Is it named after a person, Mr., you know, Frank Joshua J., gay or what, you know, who started it, you know, or who promoted it, who had an organization by that name and it was named after him? I can see that. But it's just, you know, all of a sudden, gay. What does that mean? And then you say gays and lesbians. Then you add another one, transgender. Gays, it started off just being gays, then lesbians, then transgender. So one legitimate question is, where is the cutoff point? See what I mean? And another thing, is a lesbian gay? Why do you say gays and lesbians? I mean, you know, these are just questions, logical
right.
questions.
Right.
If you got a big sign out and you're carrying it around and telling everybody to join in and support it and contribute some money to it and all like that, people should know what they're contributing money to. You know? And another thing, where is the payoff? Now, if it's an improvement over what we call traditional sex, because they call it alternative, that's another term. This is a alternative, you know, meaning something that's different from the usual or something that's various, a variation of the basic. Well, then you ask several questions there. Well, is there anything incorrect about the basic? And a person might say, no, but this is an alternative, of course, you know, for people who just got tired of the basics, want to do something different. What's wrong with variety? What's wrong with diversity, diverting from one thing to another? Well, maybe nothing, but let's examine it. Examine it for what? To see if it is an improvement over what you already had. And if so, justify it by showing, by example, where's the improvement? Which one of these, see, when you start talking about homosexuality or lesbianism, these are not just abstract words. These are talking about, you have to do certain things to qualify. So what are these things that you do? And which one of them is an improvement over what has been done? That's just like a person might come around and say, well, hey, you know, I used to kind of be attracted to people, you know. I've had several wives and all like that. Even had a little incest, I mean, every now and then, I mean, you know. And but I finally came to the conclusion that people ain't where it's at all. I'm in the bear. You know. You say, what do you mean you're in the bear? I'm into bear. I go out in the woods and I chase me down a bear. The bear ain't chasing me no more. I'm chasing them. I have found that that's a wonderful alternative. I mean, after all, man, I mean, let's face it. Look at these marriages and divorces and whatnot. I don't have no trouble with the Bears. I mean, I used to didn't think of anything about Bears except just going to the ball game, you know. But I found out that, man, if you really snuggle up to a bear, you'll never want to go back doing nothing else. Now, where'd you get that idea? Well, it just came to me one night. Tired of these women. In fact, people was telling me, well, if you don't like women, get you a man. Well, I'm tired of them, too. So I'm in the bear. See, now you might laugh, but it's going to come to that if it ain't already. Because there are some people into that.
Mm.
Yeah, they call it, what do you call it, bestiality?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, I mean, that might be a wholesale thing in about another 10 years. They say, well, hey, well, you know, this gay and lesbian thing about played out, man, ain't where it's at. You know? Man, everybody's trying to preserve the bears now. You know, I'm trying to get me a panda. You know? Now, what is the point that I'm making? It's a lots of things that the mind can do. The mind is extremely inventive and extremely flexible. But the basic question is this type of activity an improvement? And if so, why? Otherwise, why are you coming around asking black people who don't even have a roof over their head that this is what they should be pushing now? They don't even have a decent school or a decent job. But now you want them to join the gay rights movement, and that should be their priority. We should drop everything else and make that a priority. I don't see the justification at all. They have some white people who came around years ago and started saying, calling it the rainbow, you know, kind of, you might excuse the pun, tailgating Jesse Jackson's rainbow push for civil rights. And then they got to saying, well, what is this all about? And when the question was asked, they answered by saying, well, it's another division of civil rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the same thing. Discriminating against gays is the same as discriminating against blacks. And a lot of black people say, wait a minute, it may sound like the same thing, but it ain't the same thing. But they were able to shout all of that down. It is the same thing. Why is it the same thing? Because I said so. White supremacy in action again. Always, because I said so. See, but, you know, but that don't, you know, it sounds like it could be right, but it's something that still don't add up. It ain't the same thing. It is the same thing. Trust me. No different. Discrimination is discrimination, which is another word that people should pay attention to. Everybody discriminates every day. You discriminate when you decide to ride the bicycle to work rather than catch the bus. And does that say that you are discriminating against the bus riders? You know? So that word discrimination, I don't even use it because everybody discriminates. It just means choosing. But what is the key? The key is it a choice that's constructive? When you start talking about black people's plight now, see, that's a different thing altogether. Is it constructive or is it non-constructive? Because it's got to be one or the other. Is it an improvement? Now, we already have a mess with the male-female thing. But you would have that anyway under any system that's unjust. But now, are you making a bigger mess or are you straightening out all the mess that ever was?
That was Dr. Neely Fuller talking about homosexuality in America within the black community. I want to go tonight, put down Archangel Michael, put down Gabriel, Raphael. I want to go to the archangels. I want you to go into meditation. The angel, your angel, Michael, Raphael, Bobby, Hamiel, you ought to know your angel. I want to ashe the angels tonight. And for the angels, where my bill at? I'm going to ashe the angels tonight. And we want to, at the 11th, ashe the angels. the angel Michael, the angel Gabriel, and all the, I say, the black angels, the angels that stand at the pyramid, the angels that over in Egypt, the angels stand around as I pray, Father God, the God of miracles, the God of the universe, God that gives rain, God that gives peace and love. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal tonight. So I'm praying tonight for your healing, your deliverance, your breakthrough. I'm praying tonight for God to touch you in a mighty way. I'm praying tonight that every door closed will be opened up to you. Get ready. Sometimes you don't be ready what God gonna give you. You may have your mind to be ready for what God can put on you. And God put some on you.
And as a symbol for education, he is a symbol for me of mind and intellect. He is a symbol for our struggle. And now in the twilight of his life, trying to put the 60 plus years of the energy that he has put into our struggle into a type of focus that we can understand and take it forward into the future. Many of you have known him longer than me. I have had the pleasure of having many business conversations with him over the last 10 or 12 years. I see just about every other week on the telephone. He stayed in my home. And again, he was a very important inspiration to me and to us all. But with that in mind, I don't see him standing in the doorway. But I would like to have us greet our master teacher, Professor John Henry Clark. Tonight,
is a subject that a lot of people have stayed away from because for academic reasons, for tenure reasons, for job reasons, personal relation reasons, they have not wanted to discuss the African Revolution. They have not wanted to call it a revolution. They have not been willing to say why it failed. They're not willing to say what will have to be done to make it succeed. And we are now a people at the crossroads of history. Then we are not at the crossroads only of our history. We are at the crossroads of human history. We are on the cutting edge of the history of man. Then why have we not asked the question? A people so potentially powerful have so little power. And people, the most diverse people spread throughout the world, there's not a human society in the world, but we have not touched and involved. Why then, if we are the rightful owner of a piece of real estate called out 12 million square miles, full of the richest mineral God ever created, God and nature, and for me, God and nature, one and the same. Why then are we so poor? Who's managing our wealth? Who's managing us as we mismanage our wealth? How dare we call ourselves an independent people with independence when the only way you can be independent, you must manage all of the wealth-producing resources of the country that you own. I'm not talking about a country you invaded. I'm talking about the country that is the historical geography of your early development and life. Why do we own so much and manage so little? And why is there so much confusion among us based on pure man-made nonsense? And why do we go to war with each other over organized religions without understanding that all organized religions were brought to countries by foreigners, bigger than you had a way of life, a spiritual way of life, superior to all organized religions. Before, why then did you let foreigners bring to you something that puts you against your own brother, made you go to war against your own brother, turn your back for foreigners, rape your sister and your mother, and save your brother, and do it in the name of God they taught you, they left it to God you created. Something happened to your mind. You programmed yourself into a position where any part with any kind of strength could take over the destiny of your country. There are countries in Africa right now so weak, a good voice got through to take over. What is the excuse? When you find the strongest thing about a people, look on the flip side, and you'll find the weakness. The strongest thing about Africa, people at the crossroads. At what crossroads? The crossroads of human history. Talking about the golden opportunity you missed because you could not find yourself on the map of human geography. And you kept identifying yourself with other people, sometimes other people who are failure. You couldn't go to Africa, understand the nature of the social systems in Africa that not only predates Karl Marx, it predates Europe itself. So you got to go and get the European version of socialism. You can't be enough. Go back and understand that an African pharaoh of not 1,300 years before the birth of Christ announced the same theory from a throne and practiced it. The European announced the theory and betrayed it. Every humane theory that the European ever announced, he has betrayed Christianity, Marxism, democracy, humanity. He never lived up to any of this. And yet you are falling like a fool behind him. And every basket thinks you're going to collect some of his things in order to make something for yourself, infecting the richness of your own that you need to cultivate. You wouldn't follow after him. And if you knew the history of the Arab, you wouldn't follow Arab Islam. You would understand that two Africans made Islam. They've been at it and belong. And that Ethiopia touched Islam in its cradle and saved it. When they're about to be given out of the way, Prophet Muhammad said, go to Ethiopia. Go to that land where no one is wrong. And he went to Ethiopia. And after the hospitable to Spain and Pharaoh again, gave them a haven. After the death of the prophet, they went back. They got the faith well on the way. Now you think that you got to complicate, purify, and sell us Arabism, which is not Islam, because the Arab is a betrayer of Islam. You don't know who he is. He's part of the dirty wastelander that came down from the back door of Europe and united with the wastelander from the side door of Africa and the back door of Europe. He's the bastard child of a bastard child. You got to follow him. When he came to Africa, the Africans thought, because it was during the period of the Romans, that the Arabs and Islam would help to get the Romans off of their back. They were right. But the Arabs got Rome off of their back. The Arabs placed the Romans on their back, and he's still that. A vulture, slave trader, a raper. I'm not against Islam or any religion, but I'm willing to condemn at the rest of my life any religion that says they have God if those are the slave trade. Africans are being killed in enslaved in Mauritania right now. Africans are being enslaved in the Sudan right now. Africans are being driven out of Mauritania by Muslims because they wanted a pure Arab nation. Senegal is more Islam. Islam. Then Arabia. you're descending on these hearts are being given up. A whole lot of people in the Sudan who call themselves Arabs, this black skin Africa converted to the faith, but now turn against and enslaving their own people. And when you can't say anything about this, then you hide behind the faith of God, and your own people be mutilated. And we are at the crossroads of history about to change. I am not telling any of you to leave a church or to leave a mosque or to leave a religion. I am telling you everything that touches your life, every social thing, every political thing, every cultural thing, must be converted into an instrument of liberation or be thrown into the ash can of history. You have no time to wait. When you've got to deal with Christianity, remember, we did not follow European-type Christianity. And to the extent that we followed it, we went wrong. We created the independent African church. It was a church totally different from the European church. It nurtured us, helped to give us some of our first school. The church was once the schoolhouse. The church was once the place we hid from the law. The church was once the place we went to when we had no physical means of support. The church was once the place we went because we didn't send out people to the state asylum, take care of mental health. The church all purpose. The church went back to the African spirituality before foreigners interfere with our spiritual way of life. Start giving up some European God disguised as Christianity, which was a handmade of that conflict. Christianity became the handmade of European conquest. Islam became the handmade of Arab conquest. Now, listen to this statistic. Maybe you sober down. Stop telling that damn Arab lie. Islam being the black man's true religion, and Arab being the black man's true language. Islam is an A.D. religion, not a B.C. The Arabs are an A.D. people. We have religion and language 5,000 years before the birth of Christ, if you didn't talk. Why did I qualify? Why did I qualify? If I was much younger, made a statement like that, I would tell my buddies at the door, went in front of the stage, and kids I run for my life, I'd be able to get out of the building. My qualification, if you live at all. Now, if you read John that pagan origins of the Christ myth, he traced the Christ story to 26 civilizations, each with their separate Christ. Each 1,000 miles apart. You only know about one. Every nation has, every major people have their own Christ, concept. They read a little pamphlet by Joe Matthew, the historical Jesus and the mystic Christ. He examined the historical art. talking about. He's talking about the fact that after the fact that the same religion, identical religion, did not betray him. Thousands of years before Christ. And he explained what St. Augustine meant when he talking about the comfort and not fear. Said that these people trying to give us a religion we had 3,000 years ago. What's he talking about? And we had 3,000 years ago that we had all before Christ. A lot of people do not understand that you got to make a distinction between organized religion and a spiritual way of life. The African had a spiritual way of life that predates organized religion. This spiritual way of life was so good and ordered. He had entire societies that did not have the word jail in their language because no one ever belonged to one. Already it happened. What did happen? The family structure was so good. Within the family, they had judge, jury, and built into the family. The family structure was a miniature nation. Everyone who came into Africa declared war on this structure. One of the people that declared war on the structure, the last, most disaster, was the Arabs. She is a major womanizer. You must never touch one of his. But yours is 300 for him. Stood in the covered wall. When America went there, they told America that I'll be for you. But there's certain conditions. If your soldier wanted to prostitute, you better bring them with you, but there'd be no Arabs to put them into prostitution. If any of your women walk around here and skip the dress, we take the dresses over and beat her behind. You don't walk around here no medic payments. America paid for that. And yet, right now, the African women enslaved, work in the field, have farms in the day, and serve them in the bed at night on their commission. Now, when you fail to do anything about this, keep quiet about this, you're more than a coward and a hypocrite. You're a liar and destitute. Because you do not understand. Remember, it was in Africa that we gave women something which we intelligently conceded that was hers all along. Preference and equality. It was in Africa that the woman rode at the head of her aunt. It was in Africa that the woman headed a state for the first time. It was in Africa that the woman became a god for the first time. You can come up with what women's lives and had a damn thing to do with you at all. At the crossroads, and we are debating everybody's concern except our own. Wrong up with everybody's religion except our own creation. No one creates any liberation movement for was the misconception in history based on foreign invasions of Africa, based on our misreading of other people's literature that downgraded us, based on our acceptance of other people's words that's not applicable to us. We were never a minority. We number a billion people on the face of the earth. We should make jobs for each other. Now, let us start with the high tech right now. Let us start making our underwear. All right. That's something you change every day you can. Our underwear, our factory, has opened up 10 factories in one. I made this proposal in New York at a memorial for Martin Luther King, what Martin Luther King, a speech called, what Martin Luther King did not learn about Mahatma Gandhi. And I said, maybe if Martin suggests that we should not bury our beloved one in a coffin we don't make, we can take the coffin business away from the mafia and put some brothers to work. Really, coffins? Coffins not even made out of first-rate wood. A second-rate carpenter can make a decent coffin. Ain't no high tech. I'm talking about if I got to go to engineering school. Why are you buying all your coffins from somebody else? But all the other things you got, you think we can't have one factory making coffins? Huh? We can't be self-sustained doing nothing? Don't tell me you can't make a handkerchief. Look, I've known Farrakhan for 40 years. I like it personally, and yet I have a running argument with it. He announced it too much. It's an announcement and nothing more. Not a ceremony without substance. You voice too many issues. What are you talking about watching a million people being on watch? How many pairs of shoes do many men wear? How much gas do you pay? How many hotels gonna hold you? All you're doing is making white people fit. But you're supposed to save all that money and all that energy. You can build 300 supermarkets. But building a supermarket is less than than before a camera holds it on a mark. I'm saying we suffer a disease where we have no doctor cure. That disease is called ego starvation. We have a lot of ego starved people. When they get to see a camera, they get hungry. Oh my God, let me give up all that camera. Let me see my face. When the constructive work of building a nation is not being done, you start building a nation by creating the thing essential to your existence. Why not say I'm wearing shoelaces? I don't think. Now don't tell me you can't make a shoelace. Do the big, do the durable things first. High tech like a simple automobile. Don't even buy a whole automobile. Buy the part. Get a simple. Got a job. Any good job, depends on how to assemble it. This is the brother gonna be doing so well. Ford's gonna ask him, hey, you want a job? Well, Ford, you do your faster than me. you back. We forgot our skill. We forgot what we did without interference. We forgot we produced society that had no misery. We lived out our Christianity and our socialism. We didn't preach about it. We just lived it out. And we discovered something very early in life that we moved away from. Spirituality and not religion is the enduring thing for man, a spiritual belief. Organized religion gives you a ceremony, creates a rationale for what it does to other people. Spirituality did not succeed to God. With spirituality, you gain a stuff. No pew. No priest.